Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay, a very special Thanksgiving edition of This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken, jam-packed show for you tonight. We are going to kick things off straight away with the spirit of Thanksgiving. Our first guest tonight, singer-songwriter Eric Hyman, is a This Show Is So Gay fan favorite. He just released his latest album, Out With The Old, a reinterpretation of his songs on the Ivory Keys. It's like Eric Hyman meets Tori Amos. Do you get that a lot, Eric?
Yeah, I'm getting it a little bit more.
Awesome.
The piano has brought out my very soft side.
Well, and in what I can only imagine is the crowning achievement in his already fantastic career, he is the first ever three-time guest on This Show Is So Gay. Welcome back thricely to This Show Is So Gay. Hey, Eric.
Woo! I feel privileged.
That's a big honor.
Back so many times.
This is a big honor for me, not for you.
You guys are awesome.
Now, you've been playing all day today, have you not?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing the national anthem at 7:30 for the Route 66 Marathon.
Oh, my gosh. So you're not done yet.
There's like 6,000 people.
Holy cow. All right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay.
All over the world.
Now, Eric, we have so much to talk about. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
What are your plans? Do you have very special plans?
I am cooking Thanksgiving dinner for my family. My partner's family and mine.
Wow. How many people will be at the table?
10 to 12.
All right. The menu is all planned out?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually I'm making a few different people's recipes.
Okay.
Ina Garten's buttermilk mashed potatoes to Alton Brown's turkey.
Wow.
To Paula Deen's apple pie.
What do you think is going to be the Eric Hyman special, though? The thing that's just going to become the recipe that everyone now forever associates with you?
I like stuffing.
All right.
I like to try different kinds of, I like apples and fennel. So I think I'm going to do like an apple fennel, maybe some onions in there, a little caramelized. I'm a big fan of the caramelized onion.
That sounds good. Okay, now I'm kind of hungry for Thanksgiving already. All right, well, so much else to talk about, Eric. Now, you, sir, I just watched it earlier today. You made one of those It Gets Better videos, did you not?
I did, and I made it pretty early on in the campaign after seeing so many people do it. And, like, I'd sit there and I'd watch everybody's videos one after the other and realize I have to do this because it's just, I get glued, and it's amazing just to hear everybody's stories. I mean, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I get to travel around and write songs and tell my stories night after night, but not many people get that opportunity, so, and people who have a really important story to tell. So I think the It Gets Better videos really highlights all those people, you know? I think if a kid is going through a hard time and can go onto a website and see all these people and encouragement, I mean, that's amazing.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Now, I loved what you had to say because you spoke, it was a nice combination of, okay, I'm a gay male who had this experience in high school, but then at the same time, you're also a singer-songwriter, and I loved that you talked about just the effect of Ani DiFranco and the Indigo Girls and just the whole idea that they gave you confidence to come out.
Yeah, I didn't really understand a lot that was going on with, you know, the way I was feeling and how to cope with it or saw anybody who embraced it, let alone embraced it. So they just, I don't know, they just became these icons for me, and hearing them be so unapologetic about being gay just made me so, I just clung to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Them. And I know a lot of my friends who are musicians did the same kind of thing. You know, this was this really neat time where, I don't know, these women were speaking out when I thought a lot of gay men were not.
Yeah. Yeah. I so firmly remember just somewhere around, you know, 1995, 1996, and just I remember when the Indigo Girls came out with 1200 Curfews, and it was just the first live album.
Oh,
and
oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd never seen them in concert, and there was just something about I loved their music so intensely, but then I felt like, oh, gosh, now I have this personal connection with them because they're playing in my head live, and it was just so – it was a big deal for me. It was a little delusional, but
– it was a huge deal for me as well, and – actually, good friends of mine, Coyote Grace, I don't know if you've heard of them, Ingrid and Joe, and they are, one's a stand-up bass player, Ingrid is, and Joe plays guitar, and they're like this duo, and he's transgendered, and they just travel around. They're actually not only opening up for them, but they also are kind of their backup band.
Wow.
So they've been traveling down. And me and my other friend, Namle, were like just green with envy. Because we're like,
aah! Oh my gosh.
You know, getting to be that close to the people that inspire you is like, it's almost mythological, you know?
Yeah. They're real people. No, I have to tell you, having Amy Ray on this show, I still am cleaning up my tears from the soundboard a little bit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That one, that month.
I met her once, and she was the sweetest person.
I bet. So cool. But do you understand, Eric, and I hope you do, that you are now serving in that role for youth?
I mean, it's a huge responsibility, and if I am, I hope I'm doing a good job.
You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. On behalf of the community, you're doing a good job. How about all this school bullying stuff, Eric? What do we make of all of this?
You know, you hear about a few of the kids that were doing it, and then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, 4 and 5 and 6, and you're like, oh, my gosh, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wonder, you know, now it's just being reported because the media seems to just be this roaming spotlight.
Right.
You know, that everything still exists just the way that it has, but now, you know, this has become a center topic for the media to kind of punctuate.
Right.
So you know, it makes me think this has been happening probably all the time.
Right.
You know, but it's amazing to me the support that's coming from people because it is in the national news and whatnot. But I mean, I know so many people who have been there, you know, just standing there thinking, like, I don't have anything else to live for and nobody will ever accept me and going through that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think everybody's trying to help out in any way they can, like Dan Savage with the It Gets Better videos.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, and just concerts that I've seen that were held and people just being so vocal about it. I hope that it changes the way that bullying happens, not just from other kids, but from parents. I mean, that's the one thing that I don't think we're focusing enough on is that bullying comes from parents. You know, don't be gay, don't be gay. You know, you hear that a million times from people's parents to them. You know, all that pressure to be somebody else that they're not and
right.
knowing that it's not okay, you know, and being raised to believe that. One thing I hope that comes out of this is that not only, you know, fellow classmates, but, like, parents of those classmates and our own parents really kind of look at this as, you know, it's okay and it's not your fault and, you know, and you're doing more help by appreciating your child for who they are than you are neglecting them for not.
Has there been an uptick in sales for Little Boy Blue? Because I feel, given everything, there should be some sort of uptick in sales.
There's been a lot of people asking for it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I have noticed. I've noticed a lot of people just requesting that song and really relating to it. Same with the protest song. Is you know, I sit in my room and I write these songs going, I hope people don't freak out when I put this up. You know, in a negative way. And you just, I think everybody just wants to be honest with each other. And hearing a song that's just honest, people
yeah.
want to hear it again and again. Maybe there's not enough for that out there in the music world. But I don't know, people just relate to an honest perspective. And I think Little Boy Blue is just about this amazing transgendered person who went through a really hard time, and I was able to meet him and get to know him a little bit, and I've become, like, really good friends with after all these years, and we still stay in touch.
Wow. It's just got to be so incredible for a song to have this context and now be requested in this whole completely different climate. Because I was listening to it earlier today, and I've told you before, you know, that's one of my favorite songs, but putting it in the context of everything that's going on now, it's almost like a completely different song, or it just becomes that much more poignant.
Songs that, you know, you listen to them and you know one meaning and then something happens and or somebody says, think about it this way, and it's like a brand new song all over again.
Right.
I think it's amazing when a song can have that kind of duality.
Yeah. Little Boy Blue.
I hope it does good.
Go. Yeah. It does. I think it's just incredibly helpful. And that's what people wrote in today and said, oh, my gosh, Little Boy Blue. And that's the song to request right now. And I said, yes. Yes, it is.
Thank you. That means a lot to me because, I don't know, it's not even my story. That's why with the It Gets Better video, I was like, I feel like I've told my story a million times. You know, I wanted to turn the camera on other people, you know, friends of mine who also wanted to say something like, that it gets better. And Angel, you know, my drummer for Eric, she had a lot to say, and she had a hard time, you know, with herself coming out and going through all that. So I was glad that, you know, there's an opportunity for her to say something and somebody to hear it and say, you know, I'm just like her.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, he didn't look like he had a hard time with anything. I'm just saying.
He's his own person. He's a little loony, and we think he's great for that. But I don't know. He's very supportive, and the cool thing about him is, although he's straight, like, he's never flinched at doing anything.
Right.
Gay, and we've done so many prides and events. And there was one time where we were down in Dallas, and we were playing at a university, and it was National Coming Out Day, and all these kids got up to tell their stories, and he was, like, so moved by it, you know, more so than Angel and I, because we, you know, I've been hearing coming out stories ever since my own and before that.
Yeah.
But for him, it was kind of all these new perspectives. So he really took it, you know, seriously and was impacted by it.
I think in some ways that's so much more important for audience to see than, you know, the gay guys like you and I who are hearing this all the time and are like, all right, play on, man. And then you see, oh, that's right. There are these allies, and they're so crucially important to moving things forward.
Yeah, and sports figures, like somebody posted that on Facebook or something, and I saw it somewhere, and I think it was my friend Aaron Heyer in San Diego, who did some PR, and he said, you know, why are we telling all these gay kids to, like, or all these gay celebrities, you know, icons like Bette Midler and all these people to say something to gay youth? Why don't we just have all these athletes say something to all the kids that could potentially be bullying people?
Exactly. Exactly.
They need to see... Yeah, they need to see, like, these huge sports figures say, you know, I'm okay with it, you know, and it's not cool to, like, bully people.
There you go. There you go. All right, but now we got to talk about your music, sir. We got to talk about your music.
Okay.
You are now suddenly straddling the piano bench like Tori Amos. I just want to give everyone that visual.
Yes.
What's this about? We're reinterpreting songs, are we not?
We are, and what... I ended up taking 6 months and didn't tour as much and didn't play out as much because I took a 14-week cooking class.
Nice.
And I always wanted to do that, and I have never really was settled down and finally have my house and, you know, I had my own kitchen and all the gadgets I need.
Awesome.
And at that time, saying to myself, all right, I'm going to take 14 weeks on every Monday to take, you know, this class. I might as well do something else I always wanted to do, which was play piano. So I got a teacher at this great, amazing place, Palin Music, right near my house, and my teacher, Mark DeLuca. I just sat down and said, hey, I want to be able to play my songs on piano, you know, so you could help me out. And I played him a little of how I kind of got by, and then I told him, you know, the songs that I wanted to do, and we just went one by one with my own songs as lessons. And then when he felt I was good enough, you know, on one, he'd move me to the, he'd be like, okay, what's the next song? I burned him a CD of all the songs I wanted to do, which are all the songs that ended up on Out With The Old.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's how I learned how to play. So when I was done, these songs are like my lessons. I got like a $100 piano put in my house and from a friend and just practiced and practiced and practiced. And then I ended up saying, like, well, I've done all these songs. I might as well just do them live and recorded them. And that's one new song that I wrote. And that's the CD.
Look at that. But now are you going back to venues that you've played a million times and you're like, oh, by the way, I need a piano. And they're saying, we want Eric Hyman.
It's really funny. Like, I just played in Pittsburgh and State College and Montreal, all these places. And I brought, my guitar, made sure in advance that they had pianos, a keyboard, something, and I'd play, you know, half my set on guitar, and then I'd turn around and play a few of my songs on piano plus a cover. So, I don't know. It's been going well. It's getting received, and afterwards people will be like, which one's the piano CD?
Awesome.
So, I'm a little nervous about it. You know, I've only been playing for like 4 or 5 months.
It's getting some play on our show. I have to tell you, the one that I'm going to play for everybody is one of my favorite tracks on there, is Frozen in the Sun. That's a great one.
Thank you. That song started with me going, I think I want to play this song on piano. And I started, and then I got halfway through, and I was like, oh, we're doing this.
See, look at that.
drilled through it, yeah.
All right. So now tell everyone, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Oh, my gosh. I'm thankful for so much. I'm thankful to be on the show, one.
Nice.
I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have lots of friends and family surrounding me at all times. I'm thankful to have a loving partner. I'm thankful to have a dog that hasn't forgotten me, even though I disappear at a time. I'm thankful to have a roof over my head, Christmas lights to put up to make my house cozy. Thankful for, I don't know, people that keep returning and have an interest in what I'm doing and putting out CDs and just checking in with me. I mean, what more can you ask for as a profession is to be able to say what you feel and put it on CD and have people go, hey, do you have that? I mean, how many jobs can you, you know, can somebody do that?
Well, can I just, to show how small this world is, one person that you and I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm feeling pretty confident, one person that you and I are jointly so thankful for, how cool is Judy Albin?
Oh, my gosh. Judy Albin. I am very thankful for Judy Albin, and I just saw Judy Albin in State College, and I have to say I'm extremely thankful for her. And you know what? I even cornered her at the gig at like 10 o'clock at night on Wednesday, and I said to her, you know, it's amazing that I can go around the country and tell people like how I feel and just be honest with myself at a time when like 2000, not even like 1999, I was in her office just telling her, who cares what I have to say?
Yeah.
And she was like, many people will care what you have to say, and it's your job to go out there and like put that out there. You have to tell your story. And I don't think I would be doing this if it wasn't for her.
Look at that.
So I turned around and said that to her, and she was a little overwhelmed, but she's so dear to me and so close to my heart that like I'm lucky and very thankful that she's a part of my life.
I'm thinking of doing a Judy Albin segment every week, just where I talk about her.
You should do a Judy Albin segment. That woman has a lot of knowledge and could provide so many nice little pieces of encouragement or stories from kids that she's known and throughout the years that have touched her. She just cares about people.
Yeah.
You know, those jobs, some people get into those kind of jobs, and the students just become a blur. But, I mean, she impacted my life so much. I know that she's impacting other kids' lives, too.
This is what I do for a living, and she helped shape so much of that. I have to tell you, my quick Judy Albin story was I met her at a professional conference back in Boston close to a decade ago, and she was manning the gay table of the professional organization. And I walked up to the table and I said, oh, what's this about? And she said, oh, do you want to help out with this group? And I said, sure. She said, all right, step around this table. And I stepped around the table and she said, okay, you are manning the table right now. Answer people's questions. Good luck with that. And it was awesome.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like
it. It was so empowering. So everyone tune back in next week for the next installment of Judy Albin. We're thankful for you.
Yes, definitely. And a little tagline is, she won't let you get away with not being yourself.
There you go. Well, she inspired you well, and sir, you are in turn inspiring the masses as well. So you really, it's so great to have you on the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me on here. I always have a fun time talking to you guys.
Well, we are going to play a little Frozen in the Sun for you. You sing the heck out of that national anthem. Do us all proud and keep playing those keys, man.
Thank you so much, Ken. You guys have an amazing Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful. I'm, you know, my partner and I are actually having a baby boy in February. And so,
oh my God, I'm thankful for that baby boy. That's all amazing.
Yeah. So we're coming out to, we're going out to some state called Arizona to go be at the birth of our son. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. How amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, so I'm so thankful. And you know, I just had such great talks with my parents today and my brother and my sister. So a great family, I have great students, great friends. This has been a great year.
Well, I'm thankful for you. And that's awesome. I'm so overwhelmed with excitement for you.
I'm way too immature to be a dad.
Months later and you're like, I haven't slept in like a week.
Oh, yeah. The shows are about to get a lot more punchier, trust me.
Oh, yeah. But in a good way.
We'll tune in February and let's find out. Eric Hyman, an absolute treat having you on the show. This is Frozen in the Sun for everybody. Eric, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. You too.
All the best.
Say you're all right, it's just my mistake, and I'm feeling that something has startled you awake. No, I've never seen you this way, don't know what to expect. Now you're turning to leave. Would you be alright? Would you be okay? Would you be smiling? Or would you be crying? Wiping the tears off, saying you're sorry, saying that you'll be better tomorrow. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh. Will I stay? I picked up after you. I've fallen, I'm messed up. I've listened to the truth. Now you're running, you're hiding under someone else's arm, and you're frightened, feeling fragile.
That's Eric Hyman singing Frozen in the Sun off of his new album, Out with the Old. If you want to check out Eric's two previous appearances on this show, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. But do not do that right now, because as quick as that, I'm welcoming another guest. Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am ready to be welcomed.
Look at that. That's a good thing. Athena Reich is also returning to the show. She's a singer, songwriter, actress, TV host and personality, songwriting teacher, and in a poll that I just conducted in my head, she has one of the biggest smiles in all of the land.
In In all of the land.
And this has been quite the bountiful time of year for her, as Love is Love has been nominated for the Best Video on MTV Logo, and The Logical Song was just nominated for Best Video at the Out Music Awards. She truly has some of the most uplifting energy I have ever encountered. Athena Reich, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. I just say I'm depressed.
No.
I'm just kidding.
You got it.
I'm so uplifted, and then I was like, oh no. Now I'm pigeonholed.
It's too much. It's too much. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Athena.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. You too.
Now, I know this has got to be a little bit of a conflict for you with this Thanksgiving because, you know, it's not Canadian Thanksgiving.
It's not. Well, we celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada in October.
Right. So it's done already.
People say to me, they're like, I don't understand why you do that. It's an American holiday. It's not. It happened before there was two countries. It's just as Canadian as it is American.
Look at that.
The holiday came into being before the countries were divided. Nobody owns it. We share it. And we give thanks for it together.
Look at that. This history lesson brought to you by Athena Reich, who's been driving all over the place today. How was Northampton?
Northampton was lovely. I had a great time. I was at the Independent Music Conference in Northampton, and I was on numerous panels, and I performed, and I was there mentoring for other artists who are just beginning, and it was so much fun. It was really, really, really fun.
What's it like being a mentor? How does that responsibility hit you?
I love it. I don't know. It just feels so good. It feels good because I feel like I'm really helping people, like because they get so excited. Because, you know, when you're an artist and you're starting out and everybody gives you advice, and then you often just follow everybody's advice.
Right.
And then they get lost. And so I just love, like telling them, like, it's going to be okay, and not, like, stop listening to everybody and just do what you want. And it's a crazy business and it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. And because people, you know, it's a hard business, and everybody a lot of people internalize it, and the failures, and they say that it's their fault. But it's a lot based on luck, and so I just love to share that with people. It really takes a load off.
Did you have the opportunity to talk to, we talked so many times on this show just about people who in the entertainment business are deciding, well, gosh, do I come out or do I not come out and perhaps grease the wheels more for my
career? One of the panels I was on was about gender, sexual orientation, and whether to come out or not. Like, that was one of the panels.
Look at that. And what was the opinion?
Well, I mean, that it's a personal choice, but that, like, it really makes sense to be your full self as a performer because you will be a better performer, you know?
But
everyone has a different personal situation, and, like, there's no guilt. Like, we didn't want people to feel like, you know, you have to, or the gays will hate you, especially for the young people coming out, and they want to be, they're coming out as gay, they may be losing a lot of straight friends, and they're afraid, like, well, I don't want, like, you know, my new gay community to hate me. Like, what do I have to do so they don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of the young people, they feel like they want to do the right thing, and so we just said, you know, there is no right thing, and if anyone judges you for anything, like, they're not your friend, and you know, we're just here to tell you that it's fabulous. Like, it's worked for me to be out as a gay artist really well. I've been out the whole time, always. And I just find that I'm embraced and supported by a wonderful community, and that my straight friends who are musicians are jealous of me because they're like, I wish I had a niche audience like the gay community to play music for. And I'm like, sorry.
They're mine.
Were you in middle school? This is my time.
Yes. That's funny. Well, I have to imagine that people came up to you after that panel.
Yeah, all these people wanting to talk to me and everything. You know, they were really grateful. And, so, you know, some young trannies were there and you know, just talking about, like, their experience and, like, and every. I mean, it was just really, I felt like I was really able to really help some young people in a vulnerable time in their life, help them feel confident to make some really big decisions. Like, this one person was like, you know, I want to come out as a tranny in my music, but, you know, my girlfriend's family, I'm not out to them, and, you know, just real stuff that I was able to just talk to them and say there's no right answer, but, you know, in the end of the day, you know, you're going to be yourself, and, you know,
yeah,
people, you know, people gotta, they're gonna love you, take you or leave you, but you gotta do what's right for you. Like, I wasn't telling people what to do because I think that doesn't help.
Now, in the same line of thought, with these nominations for these great awards, what does being nominated for, say, like an Out Music Award? Because I'm always kind of fascinated by this, because I know we've talked to some artists who don't submit their work to the Out Music Awards because, oh, well, that's just so niche. But then I guess I never really understand that, because
people are so afraid of that. People say to me, even my gay dad, who's like the gayest of the gay, my dad is really gay, and I came up before him, just by the way. But anyway.
On this show, we say he's so gay.
He's so gay.
There you go.
My dad is so gay, but I'm even gayer, because my dad is gay. And even my dad, who's so gay, was in the middle of the gay village in Toronto, and like it's just like part of, you know, gay community, this and that group and that and the other. Even he's like, but you don't want to just play to the gay audience. And I'm just like, what are you talking? Like, this is, like, any marketing place will tell you that you have to define your niche market, and then any product does better when you sell it to a niche market.
Yeah.
And then it can grow from there.
Exactly. So these awards are important to you.
It's not like I only have gay people in my audience. I have all kinds of people in my audience, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm there to be out and to be proud and to have fun and be honest when there's people who are struggling with their orientation. Like, I get a lot of people talking to me about coming out and things, and I get to, like, that's why I became an artist, though, because I was watching TV growing up, and I was like, none of this, these people, Friends, watching Friends, they just, everything is so easy and superficial and great for them. And I was struggling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was like this, and it made me feel more alone, because if I don't see people who are like different and real and struggling and talking honestly about things in their life, then I just think that I'm a freak, you know, when you're like a teenager.
Yeah.
So that was like a big thing. I was like, well, I'm going to be an artist, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to create a new media. Like, I'm going to be part of changing the media so that people don't feel, you know, and teenagers don't feel so alone. And so for me, it's just been like, I never doubted. Like, I don't care about the niche thing and that. I don't even think it's worth a thought.
Right. And the video for the Logical song, which I think you were on your way to videoing it. You were on your way to recording it the day after you were on this show. And I can only imagine that when you got nominated for this Out Music Award, the first thing you had to have thought was, oh, my God, thank God for that gay radio show in Vermont.
I know, because due to you, everything comes back to this radio show.
Oh.
Nothing, look, I just ate a chocolate brownie cupcake, and I just have to thank this show so gay.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome. We had that delivered right over to you, even though you thought you purchased it yourself. We really set that in motion.
And you know that I'm performing at the Out Music Awards?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, I've been asked to perform, so I'm performing with dancers.
Look, oh my gosh, what song are you going to do?
The Logical song.
Of course you are.
We're doing it live.
Oh my gosh.
We've been asked to perform the Logical song live.
Where and when?
December 1st at Town Hall in New York City in Times Square area, the Town Hall. You can go to outmusicawards.com.
I want to go. I totally want to go. Now, can we vote? I can never remember if we can vote for you or not.
It's done. I think it's all decided.
Oh.
It's a secret. We find out.
All right. I was going
to
make...
you can vote for My Love is Love to be best video on the click list on Logo.
Okay, that we can do.
Vote. Click, 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 click. So you can go to... you can go to my website, and if you go to news on my website, you click news, and then there'll be a link like, vote for me.
Okay, we got
to
do that.
Go to the Logo's website and the click list and like figure it out there. But it might be easier to go to my website and click the news tab.
All right, we got to do that. Now, what about this soap opera, perhaps, that I have seen advertised on my Facebook?
Yes, 16th and 8th is like a gay Melrose Place.
It's love
like
it.
Melrose Place, but gay. It takes place in Chelsea in New York City. It's like a soap opera, soap dish comedy. And like all these people live in these building in the building, a cast of colorful characters from the you know, the Chelsea boys to the serial monogamous lesbian, a.k.a. me.
to Sean Hollenbach.
Yeah, Sean Hollenbach is in it. Josh Buescher, who's in Priscilla on Broadway in Toronto right now, which is coming to Broadway. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical, he's in that. Oscar Iden, Jonathan Lovitz, he's the host on Logo right now. He's
yeah.
on the show now.
So now how do we see this? What, I don't even know what this is. What station?
No, well, it's a TV show. We made the pilot, and we're going to be pitching it to various networks. So, but we're going to be putting it online. So you can go to 16thand8th.com. So 16thand8th.com. Does that make sense?
Totally made sense.
And I co-wrote it with Stephen Schulman, and he co-produced it with Stephen Schulman. He directed it, and he is from Sassy Public Relations.
Oh, yeah.
And he represents a lot of out gay artists and other artists in the in the world. And so, yeah, we did it together.
That is so, I would imagine that filming is a bit of a blast.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, it was fun. Sean was so funny. Brian... Tyler, he is such a funny actor. I mean, Babs Wynn, like everybody was just so great and so funny. And you know, but it was stressful because we like low budget. Weekend, but we had catering provided by Daosh Sushi and Alpha Fusion Restaurant. And so like they sponsored us. That was fun. And it was kind of more like craziness, but, we just finished editing it. And so people can just Facebook friend me or come to my website, just connect with me and you'll hear about it. Then we're going to be pitching it to networks, getting meetings with TV networks and pitching it to see who wants to buy it.
I know that it doesn't make any sense, but let me tell you, Athena, if this community radio station in Vermont could pick up that TV show, we would.
Oh, thank you.
It doesn't work like that, but still the sentiment is there.
The sentiment is there.
Now tell everyone what you are thankful for on this American Thanksgiving.
Well, I considered it North American Thanksgiving.
There you go.
I know it's technically American because of the date, but I, you know. Anyways, I'm thankful for my girlfriend.
Yay.
She is very beautiful and very smart and is very loyal to me. Even when we fight, she wants to make up with me.
Look at that. Is she looking at you right now? Like, what is going on?
No, she gets nervous, so she's like, I can't even listen to this. So she's because she gets really nervous for me. Like, when I perform, she gets nervous, so she takes pictures. So she's become quite the photographer because she just takes pictures.
So the odds of us getting her on the phone right now are slim to none.
Oh, I could put her on. You want to talk to her?
Just because, you know, we need to get another Athena perspective.
Jill. Wait, hold on. Not yet.
This is a first. We've never done that on this show before.
I know. Isn't that cute? And I'm thankful for other things. I'm really thankful that for so many things. I mean, my life is really great, and it's just gotten better and better as my life has gone on. And I'm thankful for the people I work with. I work with kids with special needs, autistic kids, and my coworkers. We do a project called EASE, Everyday Arts for Special Education. We teach teachers in New York City how to use the arts with their special needs kids, and I'm thankful for being able to sing and play,
because
it makes me feel good, and the people who like my music, that feels good, and I'm thankful for my family. They've always been supportive of my art, and for my friends, and just things like that.
Well, let's talk about your music for a second, because the song that I have chosen to play of yours for tonight ended up being really topical, and I didn't mean it to. I went back a little for tonight's selection. Tonight we will be playing an Athena Reich song called Back to Canada.
Yes.
Now, what would you say, because we ask our guests to do this, what does Back to Canada say about Athena Reich?
Well, I'm from Canada, and I wrote that song.
It's very literal.
Well, yeah. I wrote that song when 9/11 happened, and I was, like, traumatized, like everybody was in New York City. And I was like, maybe I should move back to Canada. And I wrote a musical. I wrote a rock opera called Athena Under Attack. And that song is from that rock opera. And so it's just about sometimes the conflicting feelings you feel when you're an immigrant and you move to a different country, and you miss your home country, but you don't want to, you know, leave the reasons you came. There's good reasons you came, and you want to stay here. Like, I came to New York for the arts, and also because I thought, you know, there's more gay people here. Maybe, you know,
yeah,
we'll have a better chance of finding somebody I love here.
Less healthcare, more gay people.
I know. The healthcare thing is really bad.
Well, you know who would be really sad, though, if you moved back to Canada?
Jill.
Jill.
I know. Let's see if she's ready.
This is big. This is Jill's debut.
I don't know what she's doing.
She's like under the sink.
No, she's busy.
Okay. Well, we like Jill. We were just giving her an opportunity. That's all.
Okay. Jill, they wanted to put you on air. Yes,
she's like, yeah, okay. Well, Athena, where do people go to learn more about all the cool things that you are doing?
They go to my website. My name is Athena Reich, and so it's A-T-H-E-N-A. And the last name is R-E-I-C, like cat, H, like Henry.
There you go.
AthenaReich.com. Or they can go to Facebook.com/AthenaReich. And they can friend me there, and then they'll hear everything.
I mean it, Athena. It really, you have just such a distinct and uplifting energy. It is always a pleasure having you on the show. I would love to have you back many, many more times in the future, you know, if you're okay with it.
Yes, of course, anytime. Absolutely.
Well, Athena, all the best with all the awards coming up. We, obviously, you will win them because you just came back on the show, so that's a done deal. But have such a blast performing at Town Hall.
Thank you so much. It's going to be so fun. Do you want to say hi, Jill? Sure. Jill will say hi now.
Jill.
Say hi?
Oh, come on, Jill.
Hi.
Jill, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Jill, when was the last time you were on a Vermont community radio show?
I can't remember the last time. It's been a long time.
So this is a big night for you.
Yes, it's, okay. It's a big night for me.
Jill, the important question is, how cool is that Athena?
Athena is very, very cool.
Yeah. What should we know about her that we don't know already? She can't hear you.
She's standing right here.
I know, but pretend, Jill.
It's tough because she's pretty open about everything, so I think everybody knows everything about her. There's not. I'm trying to think if there's even something embarrassing that I could say, but I really don't think that there is.
Does she have this energy when she wakes up in the morning, Jill?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. This is good. It's reassuring to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good because I don't have that energy when I wake up.
Jill, like everyone else, she brings you up. She brings us up.
Yeah, very, very well put.
Okay. Now, what's the Thanksgiving plan, Jill?
My sister and her girlfriend are coming to town.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm an identical twin, actually, and we're both gay.
Yay!
Yeah, so she's coming to town, and then one of my best friends is coming. So she's from L.A., and my best friend from Florida is coming up as well. So we're going to have Thanksgiving here.
And who's cooking?
We're ordering in.
Okay, Jill.
I have to work a lot, so we're ordering in.
All right. Not any desserts? We're not making anything, Jill?
We thought about doing desserts, okay. But we're being New Yorkers.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it. Well, Jill, this is wishing you and Athena just the happiest Thanksgiving. We're going to play a little Back to Canada for the Masses. Have a great holiday, Jill.
Great. Thank you very much, you too.
Thanks, Jill.
Bye.
Hello?
Hi, Athena.
That was so cute to watch.
We talked to Jill.
I know.
What does Jill do for a living?
She's a veterinarian, ASPCA.
Wow. That's fantastic. Can she make my dachshund friendlier?
Can she make your dog friendlier?
Yes.
I don't know. you can call her.
Jill is available for consultation, everybody.
She's available for consultation. Obviously, you can find her on Facebook via me, and then you can email her. She's very open to that. She's a dog and cat, and she's internal medicine.
Well, I by the end of this show, I hope that there is some sort of Jill the Veterinarian fan page going up.
Okay, they want you to start a Jill the Veterinarian fan page on Facebook. She said, okay.
Yeah. Well, Athena, you and Jill, always a pleasure. Keep doing what you're doing, and the happiest of Thanksgivings to you both.
You too, Ken. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody out there. And if anybody's out there and they have Thanksgiving and their parents are being stupid and making them feel like they can't be gay, just go online and talk to your gay friends.
There it is, the Thanksgiving message.
Hide and don't be sad and know that there's... good times ahead.
Awesome. Awesome. All the best, Athena. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you so much.
Back to Canada, back to bed, back to hockey sticks, beaver tails, and wide open skies overhead. Skating to work on the Rideau Canal, back picking beer and poutine. Loonies and toonies for Boxing Day sales, Clayton, Terry Fox, and the Queen. Back to Canada, back to bed, back to seal hunts and new feed jokes and bright northern lights overhead. A sweet little nation that's boring and cold, where sentences end with an A. With healthcare that's free, you can't even grow old. I'll build me an igloo and stay. To bed, back to hockey sticks, beaver tails, and wide open skies overhead. Skating to work on the Rideau Canal, back making beer and poutine. Loonies and toonies for Boxing Day sales, Clayton, Terry Fox, and the Queen. Back to Canada, back to bed, back to sweet peaceful melody, je me souviens, je me souviens, je me souviens. That
was Athena Reich singing Back to Canada. We are thankful for her. So a little bit of news for you. Can't leave you without some news. Great news out of my home state of New Jersey. New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg has introduced legislation to require colleges to adopt a code of conduct that prohibits bullying and harassment. The Tyler Clementi Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act is named, of course, for the 18-year-old Rutgers University freshman who committed suicide a few months back after his gay sexual encounter in his dorm room was broadcast online. The measure introduced last week by Lautenberg, a Democrat, would require colleges that receive federal money to adopt policies that prohibit harassment based on a student's sexual orientation, race, gender, and other factors. It would also provide funding for schools to establish or expand programs to prevent harassment of students. This is such a great thing. And then over in the House of Representatives, U.S. Representative Rush Holt, who is a fellow New Jersey Democrat, has introduced identical legislation. Fantastic. Let's definitely support that. Call your senators, call your congressmen. Folks think that, oh gosh, that doesn't make a difference when I call. It makes such a huge difference. So give them a call. Tell them that you want them to support the Tyler Clementi Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act. Very good stuff there. Interesting out of Harvard, sticking with some education stories, Harvard University's president said that the school will resume a long-banned reserve officer training corps program when federal law allows gays to serve openly in the military. President Drew Gilpin Faust has spoken before about bringing the ROTC back pending repeal of the 1993 law known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She emphasized her position last Wednesday, in introducing the Joint Chief of Staff's chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen, before he spoke at the Ivy League school. Faust says Harvard is prepared to fully recognize the ROTC when all students have the privilege and honor of military service without having to lie. Very cool. So that, if Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes through, ROTC may be returning to the Harvard University campus. And following up on what we talked about last week. So I had said last week, although I think a lot of you missed it, because if you weren't listening live, there was some tragedy that happened with the podcast and you didn't hear this great, great show that we had last week. But one of the things that I talked about was just kind of leaving Willow Palin alone. Willow Palin is 15, 16. What is she? You know, and yes, she said unbelievably anti-gay things, well, just words on her Facebook page. And I took exception. I take exception with people really going after her, because I do agree that one of the gay conservative groups was saying they're only going after her because she's Sarah Palin's daughter. And of course they are. What I took exception to was that same group also said, and if other people said this, it wouldn't be as homophobic as if Sarah Palin's daughter said that. And well, no, that's actually not true. When you use this language, it's homophobic no matter who says it. So leave Willow Palin alone. It's totally not worth it. But let's also not say that the only reason this is homophobic language is because she's Sarah Palin's daughter. That is frankly not true. It is Thanksgiving, and I just want to say I am unbelievably thankful to you all. I want to hear from you. I want to be able to tell you how thankful I am. I promise I won't stalk you. Send over an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Every single email, of course, gets answered, folks. Of course it does. You thank me, I'll thank you. It's a thankful fest, and it's a bountiful cornucopia of thanks. Also, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com, listen to old podcasts, check out upcoming guests. We have amazing upcoming guests coming up. The editor-in-chief of Equally Wed magazine is coming up, and Northrup, who is an unbelievably incredible journalist and activist, is going to be on a show in the middle of December. So great things coming up. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, and you will become a fan. You have to do one more thing. You have to click like, and then you're a fan of This Show Is So Gay on Facebook. And we send out cool announcements. We have contests. It's good stuff. I am going to play one more song for you all. This is a song called New Orleans Dreamin', and it's by Samira Evans, who is an unbelievable ally in the fight to end HIV, in the fight for equality. Samira actually performed last year at my Notes for Life concert. She was so incredible. She closed the show. She brought down the house. This is New Orleans Dreamin', and you are going to love it. It's one more thing to be thankful for. That wraps it up for this very special Thanksgiving edition of This Show Is So Gay. Get out there, folks. Express some thanks to those who are supporting you. Take some action. As always, use your voice. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? Happy Thanksgiving.
I've been dreaming about New Orleans. All the Mardi Gras kings and queens. Don't need Satchmo to tell me what it means. 'Cause I know I've been too long away from Oopadoo and Finanay. I dreamt about Irma, my queen of soul, jamming at the Lion's Den with Eddie Bo. Then came Big Chief on patrol. He had a noose made of golden wine. He said, I'll see you one day, Joseph's night. Next in my dream came Dr. John, with his gray pouch and headdress on. I asked him what he'd think about my song. Well, he sipped on it.